Now the Great American Folk Show, a little place where we commune with you to share stories, sing some songs, and talk to some good people with great voices. Today's program is a blend of harmony storytelling, and Washington State is represented by two artists, author Lee Barnes with an excerpt from his new book, Emerald City Blues, and musician Raj St. Paul, who's steeped in the Spokane music scene. You're going to hear from Renee Good. She's classically trained, but now she's trying her hand at a little folk and country. She breaks chord progression cliches. You might think you're listening to Paco Bell, but then she turns a corner to something completely new and blue and just as beautiful. Plus, a delightful duo of poetic prowess, the Prickly Pear. How about that for alliteration? And I'm going to read one of my favorite poems by Robert Frost. It's the Great American Folk Show. Thank you for tuning in today. We begin with Trevor Hansberry with a sprightly Irish tune that he composed entitled Set Your Sundials for Summertime. He mixes genres, and it's something that I think you're going to pick up on right away. There's little blues in what he does, a little traveling country, and of course a little pop. I especially love the bridge to this tune, so let's do it. Let's set our sundials to the summertime.
Sundays for the summertime, those lazy, hazy days. Hi there. You're listening to the Great American Folk Show with Tom Brasso on Prairie Public Radio. My name is Trevor Hansberry, and I'd like to send you all greetings from Ireland. I hope you will enjoy my new single, Old Spirits Calling on the Wind, which is taken from my new album, Adjusting to the Seasons. I'm a multi-instrumentalist and singer-songwriter with a folk, blues, rock, and traditional Irish music style. Check out my albums on Bandcamp and hundreds more originals and covers on my YouTube channel. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
It's the Great American Folk Show. Keep it right here. I've been listening to a lot of this next artist's music. Her name is Remé Good. And what she does is just so unique. It's so chill and so classical. Her voice is precise, and at times her natural vibrato just really shines through. It activates, and it just makes you smile. It perfectly complements her guitar work. Here's Overseas from her new record, Things I've Said Before, and she's going to join us with a live session.
It's nothing about you, but I'm leaving. I was finding it hard to stay. Starting over is a young one's game, but traveling away doesn't mean you've gone far. Cause now I know I am lost, my home in you I've left behind. So please don't cry for me, don't you lose sleep, my love. Maybe I should have spared you from missing me. Here overseas in the manicured trees, we can't seem to find where I've gone to. But it doesn't mean that empty feeling is hard to come back from. Cause now I know why you're lost, the one you love I've left behind. So please don't cry for me, don't you lose sleep, my love. Maybe I should have spared you from loving me.
Thanks so much for having me on the Great American Folk Show. I'm recording this on the day my debut album came out, September 26th, in my home studio, where my partner Gabe and I finished recording and also mixed the album. It's called Things I've Said Before. I titled it that partially because so often I feel like I'm repeating myself, in the things I mull over and spiral about, in the things I'm trying to figure out about myself and my relationships. All the gray areas and misunderstandings that happen in life make me so uneasy that the songs I write always end up being about getting at some sort of truth about a situation or a relationship dynamic. It feels like I write songs to solidify the truths I've come to in my head. And also to remind myself, and hopefully others too, now that the album is out, that there's a certain kind of clarity living in the gray area. Getting out of the black and white and being okay with more than one truth. I've also learned that letting go is an option. I hate letting go, but it has done me a lot of good when I've managed to do it. The album came out today after an embarrassingly long time of working on it. The oldest song, which is Overseas, the last track, I started writing in 2018. We didn't know it was going to be an album. I was just trying to learn how to be a real songwriter, how to feel like one. But Gabe really likes recording songs, so we just started. Gabe and I both have our struggles with perfectionism, so we do things at a snail's pace, and I agonize about every decision. Don't worry, we're both working on getting better. I was going to blame our classical upbringings, but it's definitely just us. We grew up taking classical guitar lessons from the same teacher, and actually met as kids in Tucson, Arizona. And now we play folk-ish music with nylon string guitars. But yeah, we made the record slow, and we did a lot of growing, and that's also kind of what the record's about. Growing, figuring out how to be an artist. The first song I wrote that I remember made me really feel like maybe I could be a songwriter is the first track on the record. It's called Don't Drive Me Home. It's actually about Gabe and leaving love on the table when you're not with the person you're supposed to be with. My name is Raimi Good. Thanks for listening, and I'll play it for you now.
Precious is our time together, but let down gray haze, I feel you holding your tongue. We're calling it off, feels like a breakup. I don't mind calling it love with nothing. Best kiss. We're calling it off. don't mind. Call it love with nothing to back it up.
Was Reme Good with Don't Drive Me Home. Good luck out there on tour, Miss Good. It's the Great American Folk Show. My name is Tom Brusseau. Greetings to you wherever you may be listening. We're going to turn now to author Lee Barnes, whose new book just hit the stands, Emerald City Blues. Barnes, as an author, has led a very interesting life. He's a vet. He's a desert walker, Nevada Writers Hall of Famer. He's a car dealer, a narcotics agent, and a motorbike lover. Hit his website to read his bio. Otherwise, trust me when I say that he's an individual with tons of experience, and that comes in handy when you want to write some books. What I love about a good story sometimes depends upon the person who's telling it, but I could think of no other person better to read a Lee Barnes story than Lee Barnes himself. Listen with me as he gives a few lines from his new paperback. But first, let me read you what's on the back of the dust jacket here. In the summer of 1942, Eve Halverson assumes her dead sister's identity and leaves behind her small town life in Washington for the promise of something new in San Pedro, California. Determined to support the war effort, she takes a job at a boot factory, stepping into an unfamiliar world of sweat, steel, and camaraderie. Among the women on the factory floor, she finds resilience, laughter, and unexpected friendships that begin to reshape her understanding of the world and herself.
I descended the stairs and walked through the courtyard up to the curb. For a moment as I waited, I felt I was being watched. I studied the shadowed courtyard but saw nothing out of the ordinary. I looked uphill at the street as H.G.'s cream-colored Plymouth turned the corner. He pulled it to a stop at the curb, and leaving the car idling, he stepped out and opened my door. "You look like a fine lady." "Thank you, I feel like one." I did, and I felt like I was in the hands of a gentleman. He settled in behind the wheel, flashed a smile at me, and put the car in gear. We drove west. Troubled by what I'd said to Dominic, I sat in silence. Who was I to judge my friend? She was just concerned about me. H.T. explained we'd be going to a neighborhood mostly populated by blacks. He asked if that was what was on my mind. Though Dominic had watered the seed of my apprehension, I said, "I don't think so." "We'll see. You'll like Porkskins. It's about food and music and dancing." Really, I thought, Porkskins would be about football. He gave me a baffled look. "I was joking. Tell me about the singing." "Oh, Pigskins, sorry. Anyhow, it's an old club. I mean, old for Los Angeles." He talked mostly to assure me He named off a string of singers I'd never heard who played at the club. Oddly, the more he tried to make me feel comfortable, the more he implanted the idea of my being an outsider to his world. I didn't want to repeat the previous night, feeling self-conscious and out of place as I had, or even worse. He glanced at me. "You okay? You ain't said much." "I'm fine. Tell me more." He adjusted the rearview mirror and said, "The legend of Porkskins is that during the early days, the ground floor was a bakery owned by a woman named Mimi. Then, before the Depression, the basement became a mortuary. The dead were buried in a cemetery across the street. When it became overcrowded, the mortician, some white man, stacked the dead ones on top of one another so the graves were the dug-up bodies to make room for new ones. They say families don't know if they're visiting a relative or a stranger, or both." He glanced at me and smiled sardonically. A smile, a second one, I thought. "That's not funny, it's morbid and sad." "Ah, it's funny too." Without waiting for me to respond, he went on, "During Prohibition, Mimi leased the basement to a man who ran a still. It became a speakeasy. She brought in blues singers. Now it's a blues club, legal liquor. We pulled in the parking lot near a brick and mortar building with a metal roof. A sign over the front door read, Mimi's French New Orleans Bakery. Beside the door, a second sign written in bold white lettering said, Lorna's Porkskins. And an inlet neon arrow pointed to a stairwell that led underground. "Is there still a bakery on the ground floor?" I asked. "Ah, they store the booze there, and it's Lorna's apartment. She owns it. She and the boys kind of share owning it." "Boys, what boys? Hers? What you don't know is a whole lot of not knowing." He grinned and reached over the back seat to get his guitar case. He came around and opened my door and slung his guitar case over his back and pointed to the stairwell. At the rail, he offered me his arm and said the steps weren't very sturdy. Instinctively, I reached for his hand. "No, we don't do that. Take my arm." I didn't know what he meant by "we don't do that." I laid my palm on his forearm and we descended the flight of wooden steps that creaked underfoot. A faint rumbling of human voices funneled up from a room below. The steps dead-ended at a cubicle where a thick-headed man seated on a stool stood and raised his palm. His head seemed too small for his huge body. Beside him was a metal door with a sign that read, Entras, which I figured was a misspelling. A bare bulb hung over his head. He bared his teeth in what seemed a painful smile. "Hard times," he said. "About time you come. Crowd's waiting." H.T. turned to me and said, "You wait here." He set his guitar case on the wall and stepped over to the man. They spoke too softly for me to hear. The bouncer nodded, and when H.T. pointed to me, H.T. motioned me over. "Anton needs to see your driver's license." I took my sister's birth certificate from my handbag. I didn't have a license, just this. The bouncer shined a flashlight in the certificate, then my face. He stared, his expression flat as a tar shingle, and said, "Hard times, I ain't letting her in. Cops been around." H.T. turned to me. "Stay here with Anton in a minute." My legs stiffened at the idea of staying alone in a darkened cubicle with this huge bouncer. I glanced at Antone's grenade-shaped head and whispered, "Don't leave me with me." "I'll be all right. I'll be right back." H.T. pointed to the open door and whispered, "Don't worry." He limped off. Antone sat back down, folded his arms, and glared at me. The murmur of human voices and tinkling of glasses drifted out of the darkness. I set my eyes on the open door. A hallway led to a room cast in muted light. Antone said, "Go ahead, take a peek, curious girl, but don't go in." I stepped just inside the doorway. "That's far enough," he said. I leaned on the door jamb and peered into a smoky room packed with people seated at tables or strung out along a bar, their faces merged with shadows. I stepped back and waited nervously for H.T. He appeared as a tall shadow threading his way through the crowd. Beside him, a heavy-set woman. As they reached the far end of the hallway, I stepped back and bumped into Anton, who came up behind me. Startled, I turned around. His hard breath enveloping me, he said, "Stand easy, girl." I could hear the resonant voice of the woman as they entered the narrow corridor. When they stepped out, the woman, flashing a big tube smile, hurried to my side. There was something irresistible about her smile, and she carried her heft like a fur coat. Dressed in a green silk dress and wearing a wide-brimmed black hat that slanted to one side, she could best be described as grand.
Support for the Great American Folk Show comes from the John and Elaine Andrist Charitable Trust, the estate of Blair Flegel, the Lorac family, First State Bank of Golva, and Minkota Power Cooperative, helping meet the electricity needs of rural member cooperatives in eastern North Dakota and northwestern Minnesota. Our power is our people. More information at Minkota.com. We're going to continue with good voices here with new music from the Prickly Pear. I knew this duo when I used to live in Los Angeles, California. They are so blessed to be able to craft such exquisite harmonies. And I've been loving their new tunes. Here they are now with Win Some, Lose Some Game and Swamp Angel.
Now I've seen Hey y'all, I'm Mason Summit.
And I'm Irene Green.
And we are the Prickly Pear. Thank you so much to Tom Brousseau and the Great American Folk Show for having us on today. We met in college and have been together as a couple for 8.5 years. We started this project about 4 years ago during lockdown and moved out to Nashville about 3.5 years ago. Our new single, Win Some, Lose Some Game, came out last month, and on October 24th, we're releasing our self-titled EP. A week after that, we're getting married.
In regards to Win Some, Lose Some Game, we wanted to write a love song that was more grounded in reality. I think that oftentimes love songs can be very saccharine and unrealistic. So we sought out to write a song that felt true to our experience, which is that love is high risk, but also high reward.
We do most of our recording ourselves here at home, but I do want to shout out Jeff Plankenhorn, a.k.a. Jay Plank, who plays that great lead slide part on Win Some, Lose Some Game.
Now on to our upcoming single, Swamp Angel. We do a lot of drive-in, especially when we're driving across the country to move to Nashville. I'm not from L.A. originally, so I was used to road tripping and stuff. I'm from Pennsylvania, but I think Mason and I, that was our first time we were really spending a lot of time in the car. So we wanted to download some albums, some podcasts when we got in those, you know, more remote places without service. And we heard this really interesting podcast about a person named Helen Spence, who was an outlaw of Arkansas. Just an incredible story about a young woman who seeks revenge for her father's murder. And we were so inspired by that, and we love that idea of just, as they call it, river justice.
Could hold you, didn't do what they told you.
Your conscience clean, never felt ashamed.
But when he locked the door behind you, his pearl-handled pistol served you well. Trouble. In your short life, you gave them hell. You got the devil in you, but we will call you angel.
Oh.
You just heard a live session from the Prickly Pear. And let's keep that train rolling, shall we, with our next guest. His name is Raj St. Paul. He's a working photographer, storyteller, and musician from Spokane, Washington. He released his first album of music earlier this year. And as I've been listening to it, studying it, actually, well, I feel like I feel where he is coming from. David Grohl, you know that drummer and lead guitarist and singer, also from Washington. He said this before in interviews, that location brings about unique inspiration to his patient listeners. And Raj St. Paul seems to have been waiting a long time. He lives along the same lines that pass through my backyard, the old Amtrak Empire Builder. And I'd like to think we've got a similar terrain to view. And that view is eternal.
Something you'd say in your letters from California, come like a country song. Said I gotta warn you where we went wrong. I know now that I was born a long, long time ago. Someone else's time can't take back your answer. The mystery lies and began here a long, long time ago. That's your wishful thinking, oh my sinking feeling, yesterday's gone. So tell me something, you snow-capped mountain, who's further along? Everything I know's been said. We were always borrowed, and the last lines I read. Don't look for me tomorrow. Give me your last testament. All the parties, all your sorrow. Tell me what it feels like now. In the next great American novel, the next great American novel. The last time we laid in one. The satellites, you showed me the signs and how they came so soon. I tried to find someone to blame. An everlasting light makes a long sunset every afternoon. Isn't that what they said? You feel like someone from a long, long time ago. Coming in late. In the first we get to know you, by the seventh the end of state. Who was the first to act? I carry the sun in my chest. I still got a gun in my back, and we got the river ahead. We had to hold our hands up for the other siders, the last ones in and the first in liners, the wedding pundits, the church dividers, the market shorters, the art insiders, the warrior expos, my hometown heroes, all the king's men, the dead presidents, the souls of our elders, they come from within. I wanted a daughter, and that's what I've given. I went to your garden, I can't seem to get in the middle of town, in the heart of the sound. Who's the soul of the country if you're not around? I don't know what I'm saying, I'm never without. Settled falling, and meet me in the border town. Ain't no one gonna stop us now. If we don't make it, tell me something. Were we one of the greatest to ever do nothing? Sounds like something from a long, long time ago. I don't know what I want, I don't get what I have, don't want what I got. How do we persist? I'm finally asking. I put that spaceship in a bottle and I smashed it. I walked through the desert in a cast of cicadas, the letters sent from my inner spaces. I don't know when it was, does it remain? What was I living for? Why was I made? I don't want to give up, I don't want to stay. I was calling you back, I was crying your name. I know I was gone when you asked where I was. I was hiding inside of a dream, because I'm not ready for the answer within. I've been riding for years. Where have you been? I'd sell the last drop of who I said I was. This is the last stop. Are you leaving or coming home? A million men can't stop the rain. We're trying to win by saying we're going home. You came for the storm of the century this year. Are we leaving or coming home? Sounds like something from a long, long time ago. Cause everything I know's been said. Oh, it was borrowed from the last lines I read. Don't look for me tomorrow. Give me your last testament. All the parties, all your sorrow. Tell me what it feels like now. In the next great American novel, the next great American novel, the next great American novel. Thank you.
You just heard Raj St. Paul with a tune that he composed entitled The Next Great American Novel. And speaking of great novels, the last great novel that I read is a total winner. It's called The Outsiders. My fifth time reading it, and still I find it to be such a remarkable story. It was written by a 15-year-old kid named S.E. Hinton. She wrote this book in the 1960s. And later, Francis Ford Coppola made a movie out of it, and because the book had garnered so many adoring fans, he wisely employed S.E. as the special consultant to the film. If you haven't read the book, but you saw the movie is so true to the book. It's perfect in every way.
Hey, Pony, I don't know if you ought to be in this room.
How come? I always come to before, ain't I?
Yeah, but, you know, you was in shape before, and I... You know, you ain't looking so good. You're tensed up all the time, you know?
Come on, Gary. Let him fight, man. Everyone's tensed up for a rumble. Skin against skin, he ain't gonna get hurt, is he?
The Outsiders. The main character and the narrator of the book, Pony Boy, despite being a young teen, is so well-read, and he's just so full of wisdom. Perhaps his living situation has pushed him there. His parents died tragically when he was a kid, leaving his older brothers, Derry and Soda, to take over guardianship. And though the trio do manage, they also seem to walk this fine line of being let alone and being sent to the reformatory. But then maybe books were a means for Pony Boy to learn. I thought about this many times, so I've read the book so many times. Pony Boy reads Jack London, and he reads Margaret Mitchell, and he reads poems by Robert Frost. It's a beautiful poem. And throughout the book and the movie, this phrase, stay gold, is used to support the themes of youth and innocence and the notion of fleeting beauty. If you're looking for a good book, you know, like the Tom Brusseau Book Club, if you're looking for that new next book to read, try S.E. Hinton's The Outsiders. You will surely find this coming-of-age story of East Siders and West Siders very heartfelt, and I'll bet even a bit familiar, too. So, here's that poem, Nothing Gold Can Stay, by Robert Frost. Nature's first green is gold, her hardest hue to hold. Her early leaf's a flower, but only so an hour. Then leaf subsides to leaf. So Eden sank to grief, so dawn goes down to day. Nothing gold can stay.
Crush the velvet. He used to shear the sheep, but he gave up that demon tobacco. Turned over a new leaf. Hey, everybody can change. Everybody can change. Everybody can change.
That's our show for today. We'd like to thank you for listening, and we'd like to thank our guests, Trevor Hansberry, and then we had Reme Good on the program, author Lee Barnes, The Prickly Pear, and Raj St. Paul. Opening theme by Sean Watkins in Los Angeles, California, and theme by Burkham Boys in Council Bluffs, Iowa. Mary Jones is the talent producer. Elizabeth Brusseau helps out with the digital realm. And Eric Dethridge is the producer and editor. Support for the Great American Folk Show comes from the John and Elaine Andrist Charitable Trust. the estate of Blair Flegel, the Lorac family, First State Bank of Guelva, and Minn Kota Power Cooperative. I'm Tom Brousseau. May you always find the lucky old sun till we meet again.